Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on a Maroon Friday edition of the Yard, hope things are well with you wherever you are. Hope it's a payday for you, and maybe for you weekly or bi-weekly wage earners. Perhaps today is the day. Get out and go enjoy your weekend. Have a good time. I'll be leaving here shortly. Once we get the show wrapped up, I'll swing by the spa, pick up the cameras, and make the trip out near Huntsville, Alabama, as we'll watch Madison Academy and Mississippi State commitment A.J. Rice play tonight. Probably bed down somewhere, I don't know, somewhere near Huntsville, and then just kind of finish up the drive to Athens tomorrow, and we'll be there on game day. Dave Murray will be along with me, and full coverage of Mississippi State's game against Georgia at jeanspage.com, and we'll do our best to paint the picture. It's an incredible honor to be able to be in that position. I mean, it truly is. And we do our best to take full advantage of those opportunities. If you hadn't checked us out here as of late, you know, Jacob Baines, a new writer for us, doing a good job for us. I'm very pleased with his effort so far. And I guess we did 9 stories yesterday. I was out and about a little bit yesterday. I had to head down to Madison and do a recovery podcast with Daniel Anderson. Does an amazing job. I'll be sharing some clips of that and, you know, my socials and things of that nature. It's a very, very important topic to me. It's one of those things, too. I think it's so important to remain open and transparent. And if you listen to the show, you know that I do that. But, you know, when I first came into the program and first found a new way to live, there were a lot of people that had a ton of time in. I mean, I've even met people that met Bill W. And so, you know, they were very open and giving to me. And I think it's important, you know, to still frequent meetings on occasion. I don't go daily. I don't have time to, you know. You guys do a lot for my recovery just because of the demands that you have. You know, you want more information. So we do the best we can to provide that. But I think it's important for newcomers to come in, number one, to find out that, yes, you can make it. Number two, you can have fun in life without the, you know, abuse of chemicals. And for those of you that can, like, drink normally and not have consequences and, you know, your life go to hell in a handbasket, I respect that. I'm just not wired that way. And, you know, things don't go well when I drink or use narcotics. And so I don't partake in those things. I have learned my lesson. And I think it's important for us to continue to talk about those things because people need to know there is another way. And that's the reality of my life. And so I appreciate Daniel having me on. And it was a live segment thing too. And so you can go find that on Alchemy Productions. And again, I'll be sharing some clips on socials and things of that nature. But yeah, even with me out and about a good bit yesterday, you know, we still had 9 stories yesterday at Jeans Page. And those are things we take a lot of pride in. We try to do, I don't know, between 260 and 300 pieces of content a month. Nobody's doing that. Nobody. And it's so funny. I have people that will tell me within our industry that nobody covers a school as in-depth as we do. You know, we've even added some soccer coverage to it. And we'll do some softball stuff this spring, too. We're excited to be your eyes and ears, and so I'm looking forward to going to Sanford Stadium. I have covered baseball at Georgia. I have never covered football. Every time that we've played Georgia in recent years, something has come up, and I have not been able to attend. So David's, you know, gone with us. We've covered every Mississippi State game, I guess, since 1997. I think that's right. Been to every football game, home or away, since 97, between David and I. And so, yeah, it's not an opportunity that we take for granted. It is not something that we look at as a hobby. We feel that not only is it our responsibility and obligation, it's our passion to do so. And so, again, look for full coverage of Mississippi State's game against Georgia all weekend long over at jeanspage.com, the Mississippi State affiliate for 247 Sports. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. Man, I love Bulldog Burger Company, and I loved them, I think, before they loved me. But from the very first time that I went in there and put my feet under their table, I thought, you know what? I'm glad this place is here. They've done a wonderful job and really kind of built a hamburger empire. It's true. When you think about going out to get a burger in Starkville proper, you think Bulldog Burger Company. Well, then they expand to Tupelo and then, you know, down to the Ridge and Flowood area. It is a destination type spot. And you know as well as I do, when you turn to the kids and say, hey, we're going to go out to eat tonight, where would you like to go? You know, Bulldog Burger Company is the first place they're going to suggest. And the reason they do is because of the quality of service, atmosphere, but most importantly, it's those great restaurant quality hamburgers, right? The fries are spectacular. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Make it part of your beauty care regimen. Some of you don't have one, so let me allow you, some advice here. You know, get going with that. We all need more of that. Get that chocolate shake to go. And I'm still on a smokehouse kick too. So I find something that works with me and I kind of stick with it, you know, and then something new will come along and I'll check it out. But I like the heartiness of the smokehouse burger. And maybe you don't want to eat that big, you know, for lunch. Let me recommend that BLT salad. I like it grilled. You may prefer it fried. That's okay. But so many great options to choose from. The Sloppy Joe sliders are incredible too. That's a great lunch portion too. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. As mentioned, three great locations to serve you. Stark Vegas, Tupelo over there on Gloucester Street, and then the Ridge and Flowood area, Lake Harbor Drive. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right, let's jump right into our weekend preview. There'll be 7 football games involving teams from the Southeastern Conference this weekend. We have just the 1 non-conference game, and then everybody else kind of playing head-to-head here. Let's start with South Carolina and Alabama. That's going to be broadcast on the ABC network and their affiliates. You can also get it on the ESPN app. But South Carolina to Alabama, you know, you look at this thing. What should South Carolina expect when they arrive at Bryant Denny Stadium? I think it's going to be a very focused, a very angry, a very bitter Alabama team. And I think last week is kind of an indictment on Kalen DeBoer and his staff and the leadership of that Alabama team. You have Georgia come in for a top-5 matchup. You win that game. You get off to a great start, and you nearly give it away. And to give Georgia some credit, they didn't quit. They come back and take a lead. And then Alabama, you know, they deliver the final blow there, and they win the game. And then you go lay an egg on the road against Vanderbilt. First time in 40 years that you've lost to Vanderbilt. You know, sometimes you get caught up reading your own press clippings. Nick Saban would never have allowed that to happen. And you know that's true. You know it's true. And so I think the first, chink in the armor in the DeBoer era has been exposed. And maybe those guys didn't focus enough. You know, South Carolina, I think, has a tall task ahead of them under normal circumstances. But after the embarrassing performance last week, and of course, Alabama's still in the mix for the playoff. They control their own destiny in that respect. But I think South Carolina, you know, did not play well against Ole Miss, and give Ole Miss some credit for that too. But Bama's favored by 21. I think they will cover that easily. If they don't, the natives in Tuscaloosa are going to get very, very, very restless. But, yeah, I like Alabama to win here. I expect a blowout. I really do. I just think athletically Alabama is so far superior than South Carolina. And I think South Carolina may be starting to fade. And if you watch that Ole Miss-South Carolina game last weekend, it's not like Ole Miss ran away with it, but at no point did it feel like they were threatened, right? It just felt like South Carolina just really couldn't get much going. And if they thought they couldn't get it going against, you know, Ole Miss, I think they're going to struggle even more on the road. I mean, you got last week, you're at home, and you've got an Ole Miss team that got upset the week before by Kentucky. So, yeah, there's going to be a renewed sense of focus, but there's also a little bit of fear. And so you get a team that some thought may be vulnerable, and you put up 3 points. Yeah, so again, South Carolina, I think, loses and loses in a lopsided affair. That's how I feel today. Speaking of lopsided affairs, Missouri on the road at UMass. I haven't done the research, but I suspect we may be the last team that has gone to UMass. We didn't play them at UMass. Of course, we played them at Gillette back in 2016. But, Yeah, Missouri, a team that kind of got exposed last week. They were ranked, what, ninth in the country? They dropped all the way to 21. And it's like, you know, to be fair to them, it's kind of like they're getting kind of the Mississippi State treatment, right? It's like everybody's like, oh, they're so great. They're so good. Look how competitive they are. Look at this offense. And then they stubbed their toe, and everybody's like, oh, they were trash. They were trash all along, right? It's just kind of being prisoners at the moment, kind of riding the wave. But it's incredible the drop that Missouri had. And yeah, A&M smacked them, no doubt about it. A&M off this week, but A&M absolutely embarrassed Missouri last week. They'll get right this weekend at UMass. And they're going to play that in Amherst. They're not playing in Gillette. But the Tigers favored by 27. I think they win and cover. I don't know if you've kept up with UMass football this year. Maybe you have. Maybe you guys are, you know, closet Minutemen fans, but they're 1-5 this year. Their lone win came in a barn burner against Central Connecticut, 35-31. Yeah, it has not been good. They lose last week, 34-20 at Northern Illinois. So, not great. Not great. But, yeah, I expect Mizzou to win this game handily. Missouri's got a lot of talent at the skill positions. So, Mizzou, not really in contention for anything major, because if you look at their schedule, they've got some more L's coming. But I think it's pretty safe to say Eli Drinkwitz has things kind of rolling in the right direction up there. All right, the Red River Shootout. For the first time ever, it is a Southeastern Conference game. Played in the Cotton Bowl there in Dallas. Part of the Texas State Fair. Number one Texas versus number 18 Oklahoma. Guys, I've told you guys even back in the summer months, I'm just not convinced this Oklahoma team is very good. They're 4-1 right now. They should be because they've played three non-conference games. They had Temple and Houston. In that Houston game, they win 16-12. Kevin Barbey's offense, struggling. Tulane, they get those guys. 3-0 start, and then Tennessee and Josh Heupel rolls into Norman, and they beat them 25-15. And again, that game never felt like Oklahoma was ever in charge. And then last week, Oklahoma goes to Auburn and wins that game. But when you begin to look at the rest of the schedule, you know, there's a couple games on here you feel pretty good about. But you're going to lose this Texas game. You host South Carolina. You should be able to win that. You go to Ole Miss. It's tough. It is. You know, I don't know that. I think Oklahoma will be able to do some things off defensively. I don't think they can score. And then you get the Maine Black Bears. Yes, Shutter. And then you're at Missouri. You get Alabama and LSU to close it out. So, you know, do you split these last, you know, half dozen games or so? You know, if you do, you know, you're right around 7-5. I guess it could be 8-4. We'll see how things go. But I think it's going to be a difficult weekend for Oklahoma. And not to hype up Texas, but after seeing those guys play in person and looking at the size that they have at every level of defense, the speed and athleticism they have, and this is a Texas team that's had to already deal with some injuries. They've been kind of beaten up, especially at running back. We addressed that a couple weeks ago. They start getting some people healthy, they can really be good. And you say, well, how can you improve on being number one? Well, I think you can remain number one and still be a better team than you are today. Longhorns favored by 14.5. We'll take the Longhorns and the points there. That half always makes me a little bit uncomfortable. But yeah, I like Texas to win here. And probably you see Oklahoma. It's so interesting. They're 4-1 and ranked 18th. And they lost at the time to a top five team or top 10 team in Tennessee. So it's not like they lost to Tulsa. There's just not a lot of people that don't have a lot of belief in Oklahoma. All right, we'll talk about Mississippi State and Georgia later. Florida at Tennessee. Remember when this used to be the game of the year? You remember this? You know, and Jabbar Gaffney, right? Danny Werfel. You know, like the winner of this game typically won the East and then was in a great position to win the Southeastern Conference. It's no longer that way. And Florida, headed to Tennessee, a place that's been very, very difficult for a lot of people to play in. But for a stretch there, you know, Florida was just kind of dominating this series. Now, Florida leads the all-time series 32-21. And then Florida gets Tennessee last year in Gainesville. Bit of a surprise, because it wasn't a great Florida team, and it was a good Tennessee team. Florida got them 29-16. But the last trip to Knoxville, Tennessee wins it. Great game, 38-33. And then before that, you know, the previous five games went the way of Florida. But I think things have changed dramatically between those two programs. And really, you know, you look at the Spurrier era. Of course, that was always a big thing. You know, you can't spell Florida citrus without UT. You know, Spurrier always had a barb to share, kind of threw it in their direction. But a lot's changed since then. A lot's changed. Of course, you had to endure the Urban Meyer years, the Jeremy Pruitt years. I think Heupel's going to kind of restore some balance. Incredible job Josh Heupel's done so far. Tennessee favored by 14.5. I think they cover, and I think, you know, this Tennessee offense maybe hadn't been as explosive as many of us expected them to be. But I think after seeing them lose last week, and Fayetteville, I think you're going to see them come out with some urgency in this ball game. You ever Googled yourself? You may be alarmed to know exactly how much of your private information and data is out there for anybody to access. Whether it be your phone number, your home address, or details about your family. It could be your kids' names, their ages. Whether you agree to this disclosure or not. And that's because data brokers are collecting and selling your information to marketers, scammers, and basically anyone willing to pay. It's the reason robocallers know your name, and while ads seem to follow you on every digital platform out there. Well, Aura fights back for you. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a data breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep all your logins safe, and they even give you spam call protection to cut off those stupid scammers. Aura also scans the dark web regularly for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, passwords, and they will notify you instantly if you are somehow exposed. If your identity is ever stolen, you're backed up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover everything quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get it all. Data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all with one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what isn't, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That gives them plenty of time to go ahead and start protecting your data. They can remove your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are all safeguarded. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms and conditions apply. Be sure and check it out today at aura.com. Ole Miss at LSU. Many of you are excited about this game. And as a person that lived in Baton Rouge for 16 years, I can tell you, after living amongst them, going to church with them, working with them, raising kids alongside them, that LSU does not think there is a rivalry with Ole Miss. That's the Ole Miss side. You know, that's the reality of it. I've lived down there. You know, of course, you know, there's always that Ole Miss guy, you know, with his sun visor on and his, you know, his man shorts, you know, halfway up his thigh walking around. Oh, yeah, I live in Baton Rouge and we live in Prairieville, right, or Gonzales. They hate us down here. Well, it's got nothing to do with football, though. That's what you don't understand. It's a personal thing. It's not athletics. But, yeah, this could be a great game. I expect it to be a great game. And if you look at the teams in recent years that have given Ole Miss a lot of trouble, It's teams that can line up and run the football. And that's what LSU wants to do. I don't think there's any question about that. And so it's going to be interesting to see kind of who dictates terms here. And you look historically, even in recent years, and there's no denying this, that Ole Miss has had a great runner, Lane Kiffin, better than I think probably even many Ole Miss people expected him to have. He's done a better job. They've done well. You know, how can you suggest otherwise? But I tell you this, the albatross around the Ole Miss neck has been these trips to Baton Rouge. They have not been great. Let's kind of run it back here, all right? And sometimes it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You start thinking, man, we can't win up there or down there, pardon me. All right, 22, LSU wins 45-20. That was a huge game. I can't remember where we were. We were on the road somewhere, and they had the game on the Jumbotron. And Daniels just kind of breaks the game open there. And they ran all over Ole Miss in that second half. You go back to 2020, State wins in Baton Rouge that year. Ole Miss doesn't, 53-48. We had a home game that day. I remember them playing on the Jumbotron, and they lose a ball game. 2018, 45-16 in favor of LSU. 2016, 38-21 in favor of LSU. 14, remember how crazy that year was for all of us? 10-7. That's a Leonard Fournette thing where he absolutely just plows through an Ole Miss defensive back. 2012, 41-35 LSU. 2010, 43-36 LSU. You got to go all the way back to 2008 in the Houston Nutt era to find a win for Ole Miss and Baton Rouge, 31-13. And even then, that was, again, kind of the outlier there. You know, Eli didn't win down there. You know, 2001, he was on the roster when they won. But, it has been a long time and has not been something that Ole Miss fans have enjoyed, nor should they. But, yeah, I like LSU in the ballgame. I do. Not just because of the fact that, the series history. But I think in addition to that, when you begin to kind of break things down, the matchup is just not great. And football is about matchups. It truly is. And that's one of those things that I think when I look at the, a night game at LSU, it's tough for anybody. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. It's one of those deals, you start looking through this and you start thinking, you know what, we've got to go down there and play. It's going to be a raucous environment. And they will have all day to eat and drink, knock down some jambalaya, have some cold ones. And that crowd's going to be incredible because they love LSU. And listen, this Ole Miss offense is legit. And I understand they played, the Mississippi School of Math and Science and Louisiana College in the non-conference schedule. But they can get up and down the field. But when you start, thinking about, who wants to have an identity here, Ole Miss did a pretty good job running the football this year, despite being banged up a little bit. You just begin to ask yourself, okay, what's it look like here? This LSU running game. They want to run the football. They have not had the success I think they would want to have. Ole Miss is out rushing them by like 70 yards. I just think it's one of these deals where you're playing somewhere you ordinarily lose and you really can't afford to lose again. I think all the pressure is really on Ole Miss here. And I think LSU finds a way to get it done. I do. All right, let's move ahead here. Thought I had opened up another tab here. That's what I thought. But Vanderbilt at Kentucky, and by the way, Ole Miss favored by 3.5 down in Baton Rouge. That's a motivating factor too if you're LSU. I mean, we're a home dog, right? Vanderbilt at Kentucky, I really don't know what to expect here because number one, Vanderbilt is clearly better than we expected. Kentucky is still kind of this Jekyll and Hyde deal. You just, I don't know what to expect from them week to week. I suspect for their fans, it's been kind of a bumpy ride. Kentucky is favored by 13.5. That's a lot of points considering how anemic that Kentucky offense has been at times. But they're playing at home, a place where they always make it weird. And I can't explain why that is at Kroger Field. It's weird things happen up there. And not just to us. Yeah, to everybody. It's just a weird environment. I can't explain it. But this series is a lot closer than you might and I might think. All time, Kentucky leads the series 49-43-4. Isn't that interesting? Did you expect that? Largest margin of victory for Kentucky, 53-2. Largest margin of victory for Vandy was 50-0, and that's way back in the infancy of college football in 1897. You put that in your pipe and smoke it, right? Kentucky won the game last year in Nashville 45-28. And I think that Kentucky offense is a lot more explosive. But, you know, the last time they go to Lexington, Vanderbilt gets them. In 2022, Vanderbilt went into Kroger Field at Commonwealth Stadium and won 24-21. The previous 6 years, Kentucky had pretty much dominated the series. And a lot of those games really weren't that competitive. But if you're Clark Lee, you can say, hey, we've gone in here one time and done this. We're prepared. But that spread gives me some pause. But I picked Kentucky, and I picked them to cover. And one of the reasons why is sort of like the Alabama factor. You win this big ball game. You put so much of an emotional investment into this ball game, and then you win. You beat Alabama. A win for the ages. I think that staff is going to have a difficult time pulling those guys out of the clouds. I mean, think about that. We were at home. We upset Alabama, top-ranked team. And now we got to go to Lexington. I mean, nobody's going to be hyped to go to Lexington at Vanderbilt after that game. That's not a shot at Lexington. But when you have gotten so much out of this, so much mileage out of this unexpected victory over Alabama, it's tough to get up emotionally the next week. It's just how life traditionally works, especially in athletics. And so I think Vanderbilt is going to struggle with that aspect of it. I think they probably come out flat. And I think Kentucky gets some separation. And there's not a big difference in the talent differential here. But if there is one, it favors Kentucky. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how Vandergriff plays this week against this Vanderbilt defense, because Clark Lee and those guys have done a good job. They are better than I expected, right? I mean, and there were a lot of discussions in the spring. It's like, you know, is this, you know, the last year of the era, despite him being an alum? And I think right now, even if it goes in the tank the rest of the way, you feel like, hey, they've taken some positive strides here. Maybe there's a better days on the horizon. So we'll take... We'll take Kentucky, but it's one of those picks, man. The spread's 13.5. If it was a touchdown, I would be like, I'll just absolutely hammer this. But I'm going to go with Kentucky because of the emotional component and the fact that it is such a weird game. And if you're Mark Stoops all week long, you're saying, hey, remember the last time those guys came in here? They beat you guys. I just think Kentucky probably will be better prepared mentally for this ball game, and they're playing at home. I don't know that they got the better quarterback after what we saw last week against Alabama. So here are your winners. Alabama at home, Missouri on the road, Texas at a neutral site. You know we're going to pick Georgia. The spread's 34. I'm picking State to cover. Florida at Tennessee. We're taking Tennessee. Ole Miss at LSU and in Vanderbilt at Kentucky. So we got most of the home teams winning. The lone exception is the one non-conference affair, Missouri going to UMass. But all the other home teams will win. And, of course, Red River Shootout is in the Cotton Bowl, you know, so there is no home team per se. So I expect it'll be a good week for the home teams. And I suspect most of those teams are going to cover. But I don't know how you guys feel about this slate of games. The last two weekends have been absolutely bonkers. I would love to be involved in some bonkers that favor the Bulldogs, our Bulldogs. I just don't feel it, right? And of course, I've had some correspondence with some of our friends that cover Georgia. They're concerned about the game, not that they expect to lose or think they may lose. They're just kind of they're beat up. And you've had all these distractions this week and things like that. And so they're worried it may end up being a game that is a lot more competitive than people are projecting. And so, you know, I'm not a moral victories guy, but I want to be able to go out there and compete. You know, it's like if, you know, we went out and played against Texas and people are like, you know what, hey, maybe things are going to be okay. And if we go out there this weekend and get beat 62-7, you're going to lose all of that sentiment. And I still believe we're going to get somebody that we're not supposed to. That's how I see it. And maybe we get two somebodies. But I think you've got to keep people bought in here because, you know, next thing you know, you get three home games in a row. And if you can find a way to get two of those three, you start feeling a little bit better about things. And, of course, your month of November, difficult at Tennessee. Missouri comes in here, and you go to Ole Miss. But you never know what shape those teams are going to be in by the time we get there or what shape we're going to be in. But, I still believe we're going to get somebody. I think Lebby will get to hang a skin on the wall this year. Even though things haven't gone as well as we'd hoped, you know, we knew it was going to be, you know, modest expectations year. You know, maybe we get to 6-6. I think most everybody in the media picked at 6-6, 5-7. But, we're behind schedule for sure. We needed to get out of the gate on the non-conference and you beat Arizona State and beat Toledo. You'd feel a whole lot different about your season right now if you had those wins to your credit. You'd start be counting games and saying, hey, Steve, who do we need to beat to get bowl eligible? Well, that's just not even something we're going to talk about right now, you know, because it's just not a realistic possibility. But I still believe we're going to get somebody. Could it be Georgia? I don't think so. But I guess crazier things have happened. You know, Vanderbilt did beat Ole Miss. Oh, excuse me. They always beat Ole Miss. It's a shame that rivalry has ended. But, no, Vanderbilt beating Alabama. But if you notice last week, all that crazy stuff happened at home, right? Not just with Vanderbilt, but you look around the league, you know, the Arkansas win over Tennessee happened in Fayetteville. It's tough to be the road team and go out there and cause chaos because the crowd begins to kind of work against you. But, yeah, this first quarter will be awfully interesting when Mississippi State and Georgia get together. We'll have some final thoughts on that later in the show. All right, time for today's Top 10 List. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Let me give you his number, 601-500-2344. Blair has been in the mortgage industry 23 years now. Top 1% close ratio in the country back-to-back-to-back years. Nobody stays in any industry 20-plus years by accident. Blair's one of us. He rides the wave of emotion with every state, win or loss, just like you do. I like to keep business in the family whenever I can. That's my feeling about it. Maybe you see it differently. But I like to know that if I spend money with a business, it's a good chance it's going to wind back up in the hands of Mississippi State. Just my thoughts. Now, even if you root for another team, Blair Chandler is the loan officer for you because Blair is going to get things done. Blair doesn't discriminate. He'll take LSU clients, Ole Miss clients, and certainly Mississippi State clients. If you're looking for your first home or that game day condo, or perhaps life is throwing you a curveball and you got to reset a little bit. Maybe you've got relationship change, job change. I don't know. Let Blair do some of the heavy lifting for you and help you get into your new home. He'll be your advocate with underwriting. As you know, it can be a very complicated and convoluted process. Blair has the expertise and know-how to get you to the closing table when so many can't. If you're looking for a home, get that pre-qualification letter. It's invaluable to you because you don't want to be shopping above your means. Go ahead and get that done. You want to see your real estate agent get super motivated? Get that pre-qualification letter. They know that loan's going to close. 601-500-2344. Close with Blair.com. Okay. On my trip down to Jackson yesterday, I kind of got thinking about some of these legendary artists over the years. And I thought about, the last time that I saw them. And that we could do a list, and maybe we do one at some point, of bands that just called it quits. But I thought about some of the great performers over the years, and like, what was the last song they played live? Right? What's the last time that they took a stage? What did they play? This could be a very extensive list. We had to limit it to 10, but I wanted to give you a couple of bonuses on this one. Chris Cornell, I'm a huge Chris Cornell fan. I think he's the best singer-songwriter of my generation. Last show that he did, they did Slaves and Bulldozers off of the Bad Motorfinger album, and then went into a cover of Zeppelin's cover of In My Time of Dying. That is kind of chilling to think about, right? That the last notes that Chris Cornell sang was about In My Time of Dying, and then he hung himself shortly after the show. Kind of sad. John Bonham, the great legendary drummer from Led Zeppelin. They closed out the final show, the final set, on the End of the Outdoor Tour with A Whole Lot of Love. Nirvana, we don't talk about them a lot on here because they get more credit than they deserve, but the last show, I think, was March 1st, 1994. And you can find audio and video of some of that out there. And it's a mess. It is. And to be fair, Kurt had been sick for a bit. And I don't mean, like, sick in a negative way. But, like, he had been dealing with, like, bronchitis and things like that. So, vocally, it is really bad. And the last song of the set was Heart-Shaped Box. Of course, the In Utero was a big album at the time. But it was not good. And again, I think a lot of it had to do with him being sick. And also, too, I mean, just kind of being, at the end of a tour, you're kind of you're worn down. And just over a month later, Kurt Cobain killed himself. Tom Petty, an American classic. Last track that he played, his final show, American Girl. Bon Scott, legendary singer of AC/DC. The final show song that he played was Let There Be Rock. That's a good one to go out on. Okay, so here are my top 10, and these are all artists that passed away. So this is the last performance that they did, the last song or the last show they did before their untimely death. Number 10, and we are Dio fans here on the Boneyard. I think Ronnie James Dio, an iconic figure in classic rock. Neon Nights, that's the last song that Ronnie James Dio ever performed. Number 9, and we had some Mississippi State students at this show when Ozzy and Randy Rhoads played in Knoxville, Tennessee. Matter of fact, if you go down to Backstage Music, you can see the last known picture of Randy Rhoads on stage. I posted that in a rock forum, and then this girl came up and said, well, actually, me and my friend took a picture with Randy before they got on the bus. And so technically that would be the last known image of Randy Rhoads. But the last known image of Randy Rhoads on stage was taken by a Mississippi State student that snuck a camera in to the show. We couldn't do that back in those days. Nowadays everybody records or streams the whole show. Back in those days, no recorders or cameras were allowed, but we had a Mississippi State Bulldog sneak in there and get that image, and it is framed, and next time you're in town, you need some musical equipment, maybe get you some Ernie Ball Super Slinkies, swing in there and see those great folks at Backstage Music here in Starkville. That's an unpaid advertisement. And you can see that image. Super, super cool. But the last track that Randy played on, Paranoid. Number 8, Lemmy from Motorhead. A lot of people wanted Lemmy to slow down. He was dealing with cancer and he didn't. He's like, in my final days, I want to do what I love. That's what he did. Last track that Lemmy played, Overkill, the Motorhead classic. Number 7, Jim Morrison, and it was a mess. The show ended early. Jim threw a temper tantrum, began to kind of experiment with lyrics a little bit. But the final show with The Doors and Jim Morrison was Light My Fire. The last single was Light My Fire. Number six, it's Queen and Freddie Mercury. Now, technically, the last song of the set was the standard God Save the Queen. They closed every set with that song. However, Freddie didn't sing on that song. He normally did. Maybe Freddie knew something, you know. But We Are the Champions was the last song that Freddie Mercury ever sang to a live audience. During God Save the Queen, Freddie just kind of thanked the audience for coming out, told them how much he loved them. It was an emotional moment. And I've seen some footage on some documentaries. I haven't been able to find it online, but I think it's fitting. We Are the Champions, the final song that Freddie Mercury ever sang with Queen. Number five. And there's some interesting things out there, too. You know, I'm a big Skinner fan, and I have read, somebody recently wrote an article about the plane crash. And I say recently, within the year. And they said that the plane crashed in Louisiana. Well, you and I both know that's not correct. It crashed outside of Gillsburg, Mississippi, just before it got to Louisiana. They were on their way to Baton Rouge to play a show. And, of course, the final song that Ronnie Van Zant ever sang was Freebird. That's your number five track today. All right, number four, Layne Staley. It's a tragic tale, and I have read so many accounts of the final days of Layne Staley that I feel like I'm somewhat of an expert, and it's incredible, you know, how reclusive he became after Demry Parrott passed away, who was, he believed, his soulmate. And once she died, he kind of went into an emotional abyss. As I say all the time, for every addict, there is a serious crisis, real or imagined, that pushes them beyond the ability to kind of reason for themselves. And that's kind of what happened. But the final show, the final Alice in Chains show with Layne Staley on stage, they closed the set with Man in a Box. I'm actually going to jam the Mad Season Above album today. Layne Staley said that the Above album with Mad Season was probably the best stuff he'd ever worked on. Unbeknownst to a lot of people is that Jerry Cantrell wrote most of the lyrics for Alice in Chains. Layne did some, kind of matured as a songwriter, but a lot of the pain that Layne Staley is singing about was that of Jerry Cantrell. Even though they were kind of co-conspirators in their own demise, you know, like the song Wood is a Jerry Cantrell thing. It's not a Layne Staley song. But Man in a Box, where it all really began in many respects. Number three, and an interesting list, right? It's Elvis Presley. Elvis, of course, had gone through a lot, had a lot of people that were kind of propping him up and keeping him pumped full of drugs and things like that to kind of keep him going. He'd get drugs to sleep. He'd get drugs to wake up. He'd get drugs to go on stage. There were a lot of people around him that did not have his best interest at heart. A native Mississippian. The final show that he ever played and the final song that he ever sang was Can't Help Falling in Love. That's your number three song today. Number two, Prince Rogers. Man, when Prince died, it was one of those shockwave things. It really was. And like immediately, like every song in the top 10 on iTunes was a Prince track because a legendary performer, and I think he got a little bit reclusive later in his career. You know, he had these disputes with record companies, and there was one particular album that he basically just streamed from his website. You know, refused to let the music industry make any money off of his art, and he just put it on his website, and you could download it. It was a free download. And I think he wouldn't get the commercial push that he had back in those days, but final show was closed with the Prince classic, Purple Rain. Number one, and another one of those untimely deaths, those crazy things, and this is a guy that actually was fighting deportation at the time. It's John Lennon. And if I told you John Lennon's final show, like if you put the set list together, what song would you have John Lennon close out his incredible career singing? What's got to be the Pet Shop? No, it's not the Pet Shop Boys. It's Imagine. One of the most beautiful songs ever written still holds up to this day. But that's it. That's the final song that he ever sang. And he actually sang some alternate lyrics. When he got to the phrase about a no religion too, he changed it to no immigration too, because he was fighting extradition. I mean, not extradition, but deportation, which is weird. It was a different day and time back then. But I remember being a kid watching Monday Night Football with my stepfather and my brother when they announced, I guess it was Howard Cosell that announced that John Lennon had been shot. And we didn't know his condition, but pretty quickly it was learned that the worst had been experienced, that John Lennon was dead. Of course, John Hinckley shot him to get Jodie Foster's attention. And Hinckley's out of prison now, and that's been for a while. It's nuts, man. It really is. Yeah, it truly is, that somebody would kill someone so beautiful and then one day be free to walk among us. And they said, well, you know, he had some mental issues and things of that nature. So, you know, this mental health crisis is nothing new. But, you know, found him outside of his apartment and shot him right there on the street. John Lennon certainly deserved a lot better than that. And it's so interesting, too, when you go back and you look at all of these people, with rare exception, you kind of didn't really die by natural causes or die, you know, by their, you know, the way maybe perhaps that you'd expect. You know, Prince, of course, died of an accidental overdose. And that's, you know, kind of in the beginning of the opioid crisis. We didn't know as much. Elvis, drug-related. Lane Staley, drug-related. Lynyrd Skynyrd, a plane crash. Freddie Mercury, of course, had AIDS. Jim Morrison, his heart just stopped beating. But, of course, he lived life very hard. Lemmy had cancer. Randy Rhoads dies in a plane crash of somebody just kind of being stupid, you know. Absolutely incredible. And Ronnie James Dio died of stomach cancer, you know. And so you begin to look at all this stuff. It was a tragic ending for some very, very talented musicians. But it's so great. I began to kind of think about this topic yesterday, began to do my research, and there are plenty of people out there that have already done the research for us. And so I just picked, and it's really not difficult research. It's just very tedious. You know, there's set list out there for everything. If you're willing to look for it, you can find almost anything. But I thought we would enjoy this today, even though it is somewhat somber. But how interesting is it that so many of these artists, you know, close the set with like iconic songs that in some ways kind of made their careers. Pretty impressive in that respect. And so that's your top 10 list for today. I hope you enjoyed that. You know, maybe Roy will throw some bonus tracks on there for us as well. You never know. But it was a fun one to put together. We'll get back to some of your requests next week. It's been a good week on the top 10 list. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let me know. Best way to do that is on social media. You can find Roy Samanthi, who's on vacation again. I got to figure out what's going on with Roy. Every time I turn around, he's on a big trip. You know, I don't know what's happening with that. I got to do some investigating. Maybe I need to dig through some phone records, kind of figure out what's happening with Roy. But Roy's on vacation again. So he kind of got caught up on the list, and you can find him on Twitter or X, whatever you're calling it these days, at Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67. It's a safe follow. You follow enough people that don't add value to your life, you can follow Roy Samanthi. He's not going to post pictures of his food or his dog dancing around to like a Britney Spears song. Not going to do that. It's mainly just Mississippi State stuff and then our list. And so it's a safe follow. He's not going to crowd your timeline with a bunch of idiot stuff. And you can also find our great list on Spotify under that same handle, Dogmatic67. I'm on all forms of social media, at Scout Steve R. Be sure and hit me up. If you're not following me on Twitter, what are you doing with your life? And thanks, as always, for your support of the top 10 list. All right, next segment, a show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. It's not great for my pocketbook sometimes because I don't know when to stop, right? I always think to myself, I have to have this. I simply have to have it. And I love the fact that there are so many options to choose from there. There are so many great things that I can outfit myself with. And you too. You have the same opportunity to get some new Mississippi State merch. And you always want more of that. Christmas is coming up. I think October's too early to buy for Christmas. I don't know your feelings about that. I will take an October middle of month gift. Okay, and I'm not going to consider that a Christmas gift. If you give it to me, hey, Steve, this is an early Christmas gift. No, this is my October gift, right? But you know how life works. But it's so great to get those unexpected packages. As a matter of fact, I ordered some stuff last night for myself, and I'm eager to get that. You know how it is, you order it, and like immediately I'm tracking the shipment. You know, I can't wait. I can't wait for stuff to show up. But you need to visit them when you come to town. And if you can't make it to town, perhaps you live in the mission field, you know, outside of the great state of Mississippi, you can visit them online and order online. We encourage you to do that when you're looking for Mississippi State merchandise. Support a local business. Go to campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that's BSR. That stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Okay. If the soccer game would have been tonight, I would have gone and covered in person. Because it was Thursday, I couldn't be gone three nights. I'm unlike Roy. I don't take a lot of vacations. But nevertheless, many of you watched it. It's been so exciting, too, to see so many of you really kind of get behind Mississippi State soccer for the first time. I saw some people on socials last night. Hey, where can I get tickets? Well, the good thing is there are no tickets. You can just come, right? Now, we hope when you come that you'll buy some concessions, maybe buy some Mississippi State soccer merch. We've got a little a little merch tent. I guess it's a trailer set up out there. I bought the bride a Mississippi State soccer dry fit the other day. I gave it to her for one of her birthday gifts. But it's so fun to see so many of you that maybe you're not soccer fans, but you're Mississippi State fans. You're like, hey, something special is happening with this group, and I want to be involved in this. I want to support them. And for many of you, maybe that's on social media. For other people, it's just, hey, I'm going to watch the game. I'm going to tweet congratulations to the official account. For others, you can come to the games, and you can come for free. As I shared last night on Facebook, hey, let me know you're coming. I'll get you and all your friends in for free. Yeah. Just mention my name, right? The Bulldogs win last night to advance their record to 11-1 overall, 5-0 in the Southeastern Conference, the only undefeated team in the SEC in conference play. Yeah, let that sink in. State's won 8 games in a row. We're a perfect 8-0 at home. Next home date is going to be Sunday against Missouri, and we're going to get a little bit into that. But looking back at last night, it was, we had only allowed 2 goals on the entire season, lead the nation in goals against average. And it took 2 minutes for Georgia, 2 minutes for them to get on the board. When they did, you could feel a lift in the crowd. They had 1,510 people there, and there were some Bulldogs there too. I know Julie and Ken and Bootsy and a lot of our friends down there from around the Madison area, they made the trip early to get out there and kind of enjoy Athens a little bit. They'll be at the football game too. But Margie D'Adrizio, 1 minute and 20 seconds into the game, we misplay a ball in the midfield, and next thing you know, it's a through ball. She's on it, goes to the far post, and bangs it in high and tight. And it's 1-0. And I was kind of shocked, to be honest with you. But the good thing were the Bulldogs were not. From that point forward, Georgia kind of tried to pack it in a little bit. You could tell they're like, hey, let's just, we'll pack it in, and if we get a counter opportunity, we'll take it, but we're not going to expose ourselves and let Mississippi State get an equalizer. And so it goes to the half. Even though State kind of dominated possession the last 20 minutes of the first half, we couldn't get through. We had some opportunities, but we couldn't get through. And then finally, a pretty incredible situation here. We get a through ball to Zoe Main, who gets loose with 4 Georgia defenders around her. And she takes this thing all the way into the penalty box, and right as she's preparing to take a shot, it was going to be a tough angle, lo and behold, she gets fouled. And it was an attempt to play on the ball, but the Georgia defender missed it and got the foot and the leg first. And so they go review it, ends up being a PK, and Otana Martinez Montoya bangs it home. It, you know, PKs always favor the offense, or they should. She settled herself, did a great job. So many times I see young players get too excited and you try to be too cute with it. You know, sometimes you just got to pick a side and bang it home. That's what Otana does. And it was even then. It won one. And it just kind of felt like then that Mississippi State was not going to lose. The question kind of became, are we going to win? And even with a draw, we would have remained in first place in the Southeastern Conference. Late in the game, under 5 minutes to play, absolutely incredible sequence here. Georgia gets a little bit loose and fast in the midfield. And then Alana Izquierdo picks it off, makes a pass, and then immediately begins sprinting towards the goal. And we're talking 50 yards here. Okay, I'm not talking about it's just a little give and go. Next thing you know, it works itself around. We get a ball out on the wing on motion and hit Hannah Johnson in stride. And Brown, the goalkeeper from Georgia, kind of had the shade to that side. And just as it was time to make a commitment, Hannah Johnson does what great players do. She looked for a teammate and delivered an absolute perfect cross in the box, in the goalie box, no doubt. And it's banged home by Alana. And it's so great, and I wrote about that in my recap of the game. It's a testament to hustle because you have Alana here making the steal and then beginning the counter, and then she runs the full length of the Georgia side and is rewarded with a point-blank goal that ultimately proves to be the game winner. Now, there were some anxious moments in the final couple of minutes, but Maddie Anderson and the Bulldogs did a great job. There was one header, I mean, just right there at point-blank range, and Maddie gets on it and gets down. I'll tell you this, and I love the SEC Network. I love being able to watch any sporting event that involves Mississippi State. I love that. And I understand that many of these commentators, you know, are working for peanuts, but can we get people that understand the rules of the game? That would be helpful. You know, all it does is confuse the fans. You know, it's like this yellow card that they called on Alexis Gutierrez, which was cheap. It really was. The girl flopped. And it's behind the play. And they let it go on and go on and go on. And then eventually they play advantage in soccer, right? So like let's say for an example that you and I are playing and I get a steal and I get ahead and I've got a clear run to the goal. They're not going to call you for the penalty that you committed when we were together. They're going to play the advantage. You're not going to gain an advantage by committing an infraction. Once the play is over, then we'll come back and address the penalty. I wish we did that in football. But nevertheless, they're like, I don't understand what happened here. Well, it was pretty obvious. I mean, Gutierrez wasn't even near the contact when they blew the whistle and awarded her the yellow card. So then they've got to go back and see what's going on because it was behind the play. But they begin to kind of embarrass themselves and talk about that. Not just because of the fact that they didn't know the play, they just didn't know the rules. But again, State wins 2-1, again, upping the record to 11-1 overall. The only loss is to, number three, Wake Forest, 2-1. Georgia now 6-4-4 overall, 2-2-2 in the Southeastern Conference. Looking ahead a little bit here, as I mentioned, and another thing that they missed on the show, they kept saying Mississippi State didn't have a game on Sunday. In fact, we do. Unless I don't know how to read a calendar. Today is October the 11th. According to HealthState.com, Mississippi State will be back in action Sunday, October 13th. So 2 days from now. That's 6:30. 6:30 on Sunday. So we're going to hustle back from Athens, get a little bit of rest, and then we're going to go out there. I assume there's a baseball scrimmage on Sunday. Michael covered that for us. And then I'll head over to the soccer pitch, and we'll take a look at Mizzou. After that, next week, next Friday night, we're going to be at Ole Miss for the Magnolia Cup. Now, I will be downtown at Book Martin Cafe, and many of you will be at the Junction Jam. But if you are so inclined to go to Oxford and support our ladies in their quest to you know, maintain the Magnolia Cup, it's going to be a good opportunity for you. And then home game, final home game of the regular season will be a week from Thursday. So 2 weeks from yesterday on the 24th, we'll host Kentucky, and then we'll go out and close out the regular season at Texas A&M. And I'm already contemplating. We play Arkansas on Saturday in football. If Mississippi State is playing for an SEC championship, I believe I'm going to have to make that drive out there and go cover that. I've already thought about it. I got a buddy that lives in Shreveport, and I said, you know what, I can finish up the Arkansas coverage. I can drive to Shreveport, and then I can go stay with him, and we knock it out. We'll see how things go. Now, let's take a look here at your SEC standings and our results from last night. And many of you are like, Steve, I'm a new person to soccer. I get it. It's okay. But you're not a new person to Mississippi State. We have a top five team this year. They are certainly deserving of your support. Now, Mississippi State and Arkansas are tied with 15 points in conference play. How that works is you're awarded 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw, and nothing for a loss. Mississippi State and Arkansas both have 5 wins, so you have 15 points. We do hold a tiebreaker because we beat Arkansas. We don't have a loss. And the difference in that is because we didn't play that South Carolina game. That will be rescheduled. Everybody's going to play the same number of games. It's going to be fine. And, of course, when we do play, it'll be on the road. Probably going to be that final week before SEC tournament play begins. And so that's where we are. Auburn just behind us with 11, then South Carolina with 10. South Carolina's a good team. We're going to go up there and play that game. It could matter in the SEC standings and certainly in the national pecking order. As it stands today, State is in a great position to host. We talked about the games we have remaining. Kentucky with 9 points. They're 10-1-3 overall, but 2-1-3 in SEC play. A&M's 8-6 overall and 3-3 in SEC play. We talked about Missouri. We'll play them. They get a win last night. They're now 4-7-2 and 2-3-1 in the conference with 7 points. And the team they defeated is a team that we'll play next week, the Ole Miss Rebels, who are now 0-6 and dead last in the Southeastern Conference, 5-10 overall. They've lost 7 games in a row. So you look at this and you think this is an advantageous schedule. But the reality of this is, and this is not something that maybe we expected to say at the beginning of this year, Mississippi State is in position to win the Southeastern Conference Championship in soccer. A lot of matches left to play. A lot of things can happen. But nobody can catch Mississippi State without Mississippi State's help. Again, State's now won 8 in a row, which is the longest current streak in the Southeastern Conference. The only streak that is comparable is going the other way with Ole Miss losing 7 in a row. So, you know, there's been an expectation on either side here. But that's where things sit today. There'll be some more, you know, there's some other games coming up. And again, it's so convoluted working through this SEC schedule. It's nuts, man. I don't know why this stuff, why can't this just be easy? I don't understand why we had to go back and change all these crazy things. But looking back at last night's action, for those of you that are keeping up, of course, State wins 2-1. South Carolina beats Florida 2-0. Auburn and Alabama play to a draw. Kentucky beats OSU 2-1. Arkansas, you think they're salty? They beat Tennessee 5-0 last night. It was 4-0 at the break. Vanderbilt, 2-0 winners over Texas A&M. And, of course, Missouri, the team we play next. The two teams next on our schedule played last night with Missouri beating Ole Miss 5-0. 5-0. Melina Fisher had a hat trick for Missouri. Her last goal was incredible. Just kind of bent it in there. I mean, there's no chance for the goalkeeper there. The Red River soccer shootout, Texas wins that 1-0. So, that's your soccer update. It's been a lot of fun covering this team. And I know many of you are, again, just kind of getting to know the sport. But you love Mississippi State. We have a special group. That's important to understand. I don't know that sometimes we fully appreciate that. We returned a lot of members of the Sweet 16 team back from last year. Made history last year. Have a chance to do something we've never done before again this year. Now, looking ahead to Sunday, Texas is at LSU, Auburn is at Tennessee, Arkansas is at Oklahoma, South Carolina is at Ole Miss. That's probably a dub for South Carolina. Georgia's at Florida, Kentucky's at Vandy, Texas A&M is at Alabama, and, of course, Missouri here at Mississippi State. So we encourage you to come out and support these ladies. And if you can't, I encourage you to watch them. Again, all these games available on the app. Allie Perry currently leads, is third in the conference in shots. And the shots per game, she leads the Southeastern Conference. You look at, you know, her points, she's down at 10. But I thought it was a great thing last night. We win the game without Allie Perry scoring, and we love Allie. I'm not trying to be negative. But it goes to show you we are not a one-woman team. You know, we have a lot of balance on this team. We have a lot of players that can hurt you. So excited, and hopefully we'll see you out of the pitch on Sunday. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, just as it sounds, and you're going to find a lot of information about the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you Google that, their Facebook page is going to pop up for you. You can peruse the pictures of all the amenities that are available to you and your guest when you book a stay at the absolute best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Right? It's just the reality of that. There's some things we have opinions about. I would suggest this is a fact. If you're bringing a large group of people to Starkville, rather than have everybody scattered all over the county with Airbnbs or with hotel rooms, get everybody under one roof. Whether it's a recreational trip or a work trip, 5 bedrooms, 2 bath, full service kitchen, the wet bar, the great back porch area, the fire pit outside, it's getting cooler. You know, you can get to enjoy being around that fire. Conversations around the fire are simply more profound. I don't make the rules. It's kind of how things are. Now, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse is the old renovated clubhouse at the former country club, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So incredibly convenient. You can do your tailgating right there. You don't have to lug all your equipment back and forth to campus. As much fun as it is, you know it's an inconvenience. Save yourself some time and trouble on game day and just dine with your friends and family right there at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You can control the entertainment. You only got one neighbor out there. We don't want you throwing a rager or anything like that, but there's a lot of peace and quiet. We want to preserve the peace and quiet, but you can have some privacy and kind of be off to your own. And it's so close to campus, you're surprised how great it is. I've been out there. Some friends of mine have used it. You'll enjoy it too. Whether it's a game day weekend, a work trip, a couples weekend, college roommates, reunion weekend. There's so many different options for you to choose. Stark Vegas Clubhouse, open all year. It's not some, there's not anybody living there that has to leave and pack up and leave so you can kind of come in and enjoy your stay. This is a place that is open for business throughout the year. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you're going to have some booking options pop up. You're going to have Airbnb, VRBO. However, if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10, and it's BSR10, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay. I'm a firm believer in promo codes. I love them. Absolutely love them. Anytime that I can save a few bucks, it's a good thing, right? And I hope that you guys feel the same way. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, so let's talk a little more about this Georgia game. And here's the thing, too. All right, I think it's going to be more competitive than most people expect. If we get absolutely blown out, I'm going to be a little bit surprised and disappointed. The spread's, around 32, 33 points. I think we cover. And I look forward to a day when that's not all we can hope for, is to cover, right? I want to win ball games. I want to go to bowl games. I want to play meaningful football in November. I want the rest of the nation kind of paying attention to what Mississippi State's doing. I don't want to be an also-ran in the SEC. I know you don't either. I'm not going to sit here and make some big plea for your financial contributions, even though that's important. You know, we follow college athletics because we have a love for this institution. And some people are attracted to Mississippi State as an institution because of our athletic programs. And Dr. Mark Keenum will tell you that. You know, we want to be the cool school. We want to be the place where people understand you're going to come here and have a good time. You're going to have an opportunity to see your classmates play for things that are meaningful. I look forward to getting back those days. I mean, again, it's incredible how much we've fallen in 2 years. 2 years ago, we thought, hey, I remember I was on Bo Bounds' show all the time. And I used to remind him, I said, Bo, don't be surprised if Mississippi State and Ole Miss have the same record at the end of the year in 2022. Oh, there's no way it's going to happen. That's exactly what happened. We had the egg. We got the better bowl game and finishing in the top 20. And now 2 years later, we look at this and we're just hoping to win a game. It is absolutely incredible. Of course, coaching changes have had a lot to do with that. You know, we had some very difficult circumstances. And there's no textbook out there to explain what do you do when your coach passes away unexpectedly. It's not anybody's fault. Sometimes life gives you lemons. This is the reality of existence on the human plane. Now, when I look at this Georgia team, athletically they're elite, but their production, in many respects on offense, has not been what many people expected. I think I'm going to go over a few things I think we have to do in this game. Number one, we can't sit back and let Carson Beck just pick us apart. You know, you look at some of these games, and it kind of goes back to last year. And again, this is a recruiting thing, right? You know, our coverage at times has been lacking. I mean, it's like how many times last year did we just kind of root for an incompletion because people were running wide open in the secondary? Some of that is carried over. It's been better at times. But, yeah, I mean, the ball control passing game is a big part of the thing for Carson Beck. It's not like he's just going to line up and chunk it down the field and hope for the best. They're very measured in what they do. They're going to call a lot of things with these intermediate routes, some play action stuff. At times they roll the pocket some. But he's not a guy that's going to really challenge you down the field. Remember JT Daniels back in 2020 in the game we should have won? We had special teams guys out there playing safety because we only had 48 players to work with. You know, they took some shots down the field. There will be some just to kind of keep us honest, but it's not going to be a tenet of the offense. But so we have got to be able to get some hands up in passing lanes. We got to get some pressure on the quarterback. It's one of the things that we've struggled with. But if we sit back there and let Carson Beck just distribute, it's going to be a difficult game. So we've got to find a way to make him uncomfortable. We've got to get him working deeper in his progressions, and hopefully the pass rush can get there. We got to win turnover battle. Now, if you look at the turnover margin, these teams are identical. I mean, we're right there together. And both of these teams have struggled to get some separation when it comes to turnovers. We have to win the turnover battle. And if you go back and look at Texas, that was one of the differences in the ball game that allowed us to kind of stay in it. And again, it was a one-score game until the final play of the third quarter. And I want to win. I don't just want to play it close. I know Jeff Lebby doesn't either. But we're going to have to win the turnover battle because we're going to need more possessions. You know, we don't match up well with them athletically. And that's no surprise. I mean, they have been the elite in this conference the last few years. And so they've recruited at a higher level. And Georgia's always recruited well. But Kirby's taken them to a new level. There's no question about it. There's a lot of people in our industry that are Alabama fans too, and don't think that doesn't factor into rankings every now and again, too. I don't care what anybody tells you. I know better. But, Georgia's elite. And so we're going to need them to help us a little bit. We're going to need them to put the ball on the ground. And we got to get on it. They've had some fumble issues. If you recall, we talked about that on Wednesday. But they've been able to get back on them. We've got to get the ball out and get on it. We got to win the running game. Now, teams have been able to run against Georgia a little bit. You know, Malachi Starks is a great player. But they have been a little bit beat up on that front, and they've lost a lot of players. You know, they kind of reached the end of a talent cycle. And some teams are having some success running the football. Now, the last 2 weeks, we have run the football much better. And a lot of that's just an offensive line kind of finding a sense of cohesion. We've also had the benefit of an open date. Going to get some people back. We've been working on Georgia now for a couple weeks. We've got to go out there and win the rushing battle. Now, a lot of times these games, the numbers get a little bit skewed late because the team that has the lead just wants to salt the clock away. But if we can find a way to win the rushing battle, it gives us a much better opportunity. We probably got to get a non-offensive touchdown. Talked about probably needing some help from Georgia. You know, a pick six, you know, scoop and score. something like that could be very instrumental to us, because I don't know that we can score with them. Even though this offense for Georgia hasn't been incredibly prolific, I think we're going to need a little help from them. And, of course, we talk about winning a turnover battle. If you can turn one of those turnovers into points, you know, quickly, because this Georgia defense has been legit. I mean, they have been. And, again, you look at that Alabama game, that's kind of been the outlier in many respects. You know, teams have not had a chance to score and really drive the field against them. But Alabama at times hit them with some big plays. I don't know if we're capable of consistently doing that. And so you get an offensive touchdown, that's great. And we got to make a play in special teams. You got to find a way to shorten the field for Michael Van Buren. If that's a block punt, if that's a big punt return, if it's a kickoff return, and we talked about that on Wednesday, only about 50% of the kicks from Georgia, and they've kicked off a lot, so it's not like you don't have enough data to form conclusions. You know, they're a team that has not been great at getting touchbacks. And Kirby was asked about that earlier this week during media. Which would you prefer? Do you want to get the high kick and go cover it and pin them inside the 25, or would you rather kick it out of the end zone? And without hesitation, he says, I want to kick it out of the end zone. So if you've got a coach that wants to kick it out of the end zone and then 50% of your kicks are returnable, it tells me you have a kicker that can't consistently do that, which is interesting, right, to Georgia, that they wouldn't have a guy. Because we have seen some great kickers this year. We've had some guys. I remember when they moved the kickoff back, we said, well, it's going to increase the returns. And we got guys putting the ball up against the barricade, you know, hitting the ball 5-10 yards out of the end zone. It's ridiculous how much better kickers have gotten in recent years. But all that I understood, we got to make a play in special teams. We have to. And we're going to need all these things to happen, right? I mean, when you start thinking about the difference between Georgia and Mississippi State, we're going to need their help. And I don't want to belabor that point. But, you know, they're a team at times that has put themselves in some bad situations penalty-wise. We went over that on Wednesday show, too. They will commit some infractions, get themselves behind the chains, give you a first down. We got to beat a more disciplined team. We have to be. Do I believe that we're going to go win this football game? No, I do not. I do not. But in order for us to even have a chance, we're going to need multiple of these things to come true. And I think we probably need all these things to happen for us. And special teams, we've been pretty good this year. And we got a partially blocked punt at Texas. Zachary Tillman gets a hand up there. And, of course, you think about that, you think about stripping that ball out, first drive, first play to third quarter. You know, we made some things happen. We killed a drive on their second drive on a fumble. You know, so we've done some things at times against some teams that have more talent than us. And, of course, we've done some things or missed some things against teams that didn't, like Toledo. You know, that's the one that still sticks in the crawl. It's not as bad as the Maine game, but it absolutely sucks. But we're going to have a lot of things go right for us. And I'm eager to kind of get this one behind us, get home, you know. And I worried a little bit. And, again, we got to go play this game against Georgia. I worried all summer, you know, about what the toll of playing Texas and Georgia back-to-back would mean. Of course, we had the open date. That helps a good bit, give you a chance to recover. But it's a meat grinder of a schedule. But we're in the toughest part of the schedule. And those are things you kind of begin to work through and think about. If we can get through this healthy, not saying we're going to be bowl eligible, but I think down the stretch in the second half of the season, there are some games that could prove to be winnable. If we go out and play with that energy and effort we did against Texas, and you get Mike some more snaps, get him more comfortable out there, then I think there is a possibility of us winning some more games down the stretch. And I hate to be in a situation where we're just, hey, can we win a game? Right, but that's how we feel right now. And one of the things that I want to caution people about, and I'm going to ask a favor. I don't ask a lot of favors here, but I'm going to ask a favor here. I think we can all agree that we're expected to lose a football game on Saturday. Since we know that that's probably going to be the case, can we not have the meltdown on social media? Can we not do that? You know where Georgia is as a program. You know where we are as a program. You know the injuries that we've had. You know, you don't know all the injuries that Georgia's had, but obviously they have a lot more depth than we do. And so can we not have the melt? Can we avoid that? Can we say, you know what, okay, this is just one of those games we're going to have to endure.
I'd love to look up. I remember back in 20, we went out there. I thought, you know, we're going to get absolutely destroyed in this ball game. And then, lo and behold, Will Rogers is taking us right down the field, and we're scoring. You know, Malik Heath with a big touchdown in that ball game. And we felt like, you know what, hey, this thing may work out with Mike Leach. You know, it may work out. And so there's a reason we play the games. You never know what's going to happen from one Saturday to the next. I mean, how many people last week thought Vanderbilt would beat Alabama? I'd say 99% of you said Bama's going to roll and roll big. There may have been a few Vanderbilt fans out there just kind of holding out hope, saying, you know what, maybe we catch them at a good time. I don't know if there is ever a good time to catch Georgia, and I don't know that we're catching them at an especially great time. But you know, they've had a couple of challenging ball games, even though they got some success early against Auburn and were able to kind of get some separation in the game. And slow starts have kind of plagued this offense. And so that's the thing I think about. If you have a first quarter like you did against Texas, you know, you start thinking, hey, we've been in this position before. The group becomes somewhat emboldened. And let's all be honest with ourselves. We all expected State to go to Texas and get beat soundly. And we did, but it wasn't the game that many people anticipated. And I love what Jeff Levy said in postgame. I said, you know, we didn't get the result a lot of people expected. And he says, we didn't get the result we wanted either. They came to win the football game. Jeff Lebby is not coaching his team to go play it close. Now, we've had some years in the past where I think that we've had some coaches that we get ready to go play Alabama and are just like, hey, let's just not go get hurt. You know, there were some times I think we got there about an hour before the football game. You know, that's how it felt. Let's just go out here and go through the motions and get back to Starkville. I don't think Jeff Lebby's built that way. Jeff Lebby, in his mind, will have a game plan capable of beating Georgia. He will have a game plan capable of getting the matchups that are advantageous to this offense to make Michael Van Buren successful. I have no doubt about that. We will have a winning game plan. It's just going to be, do we have the talent to execute that game plan? And at this point, I would say we don't. And I don't, that's not on Jeff Lebby. And the reason that I say that is because it's so incredibly important, I think, for us to hold the rope here. Let's not use a potential loss to Georgia as a chance for us to go lambast the program that we all love. Nobody likes losing. Nobody. And there's some people that just like, they're going to take their ball and go home. I don't like losing. I'll be back when they're winning again. And I see it all the time on Facebook. You know, I'm going to stop buying tickets. I'm going to stop doing this. That's not the answer. You know, you spend your own money how you want to spend your money. I'm not here to be your financial advisor, but I can tell you this. I love Mississippi State, and I will. And I'm living my dream, and as I told you guys before, I've never covered a football game at Sanford Stadium. I'm excited to kind of knock that one off my bingo card. But the reason that I'm going there is not to see the facilities and the amenities that are available to the players at Georgia. I'm not going to see how well-kept the campus is. I'm going to watch Mississippi State play. I'm going to cover a game for you guys. And hopefully Mississippi State can go out there and get a good game out of it. And we would love a shocking result. I remember going in 2020. Mike Nemeth and I went down to Baton Rouge. He picked me up early. We went down there expecting to lose the game. And I told Mike, I said, I don't know what to expect from Mike Leach, but you know, they don't know what to expect either. Maybe a game proves to be more competitive than we expect. And, of course, the final score was not indicative of Mississippi State's dominance in that game. People forget K.J. Costello had a handful of turnovers in that game and an incredibly bad interception when State was really putting this thing away. And they absolutely had no clue how to stop us. And after the game is over, I'm walking to the car with Nemo. And I said, Mike, this is the reason you come to the games. You never know when something historic is going to happen and you're going to be there to kind of capture the story and paint the picture for all the people back home. You never know when something great is going to happen. And I hearken back, we've touched on this recently, that 96 season with Jackie Sherrill. And it was like that in some respects in 13 as well with Dan Mullen. But the 96 season was one of those years where we wanted a coaching change. And we had some people of influence barking for a coaching change. Even though they liked Jackie, they said, you know what, he got off to the great start, but it's not working out. You know, you had Eric Molds here. You didn't win enough games with him. And then in 96, you know, we beat Alabama. We ultimately beat Ole Miss. And all of a sudden, at the end of the year, it's like, we're not going to a bowl game, but maybe we figured this thing out. We don't need to make a coaching change. We have the golden egg. And now we've got some momentum going into the next year. The next thing you know, you got a winning season in 97. You win the West in 98. You win 10 games in 99. And then had a really good year in 2000 as well. So it ushered in a really good era of football. And so my hope right now is that we can find a way to find some juice down the stretch, win some ball games, get some momentum going into the offseason, going into the portal season. And we're going to be very bullish on the portal. I understand there are a lot more resources available than there have ever been for portal recruiting. And I know you hate it. I know you hate it. I know you do. But it's the life and times in which we live. And so we need to get some selling points. We can't go 2-10 and expect to go out there and tell people, yeah, things are going to be great. You know, you've got to have some production to match the promise. And I'm still believing that Jeff Levy is going to get somebody on the football field this year and kind of catch them unaware a little bit. I think there's some people that will overlook us a little bit. I think there's some resolve within this team and within this coaching staff, and certainly with Jeff Levy, that they are going to be committed to going and getting somebody. You know, Jeff Levy and them aren't just thinking, okay, well, we just got to get to the portal. Let's just kind of get through the season and we'll get to the portal. You never know what's going to happen down the stretch. You never know what shape a team's going to be in by the time we face them. You never know who's going to get injured. Maybe somebody loses a quarterback. You don't ever wish for that, but those things happen. We're playing a very physical game here in college football. So we need some things to get excited about. You know, and I don't know that a close loss to Georgia is going to do that, but I think maybe it keeps some people from completely losing their minds. But I don't think this Georgia team is maybe what they've been hyped up to be. And, of course, a lot of injuries have kind of gone along with that. You know, but you lose some very talented guys on offense at the skill positions. Then you have another one that is now, you know, suspended for an off-the-field indiscretion. You know, you never know what that team's going to feel like. And you know what? They may walk out there and say, you know what? You know, we got a lot of things to play for. This Mississippi State game is just going to be, you know, something we can just show up and out-athlete these guys. And maybe they feel that way. But I don't know if it's the right way to feel. And Kirby Smart's a great coach. And you know, the records show that. It's not a hot take by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, if I'm Kirby, I'm telling these guys, hey, look at what Mississippi State did at Texas. You know, you look up and you're in a fourth quarter fight with those guys. You look at what happened last weekend with Vanderbilt, Arkansas. Now, my hope is maybe we catch them looking ahead a little bit. You know, we talk about these sandwich games and things like that. You know, they lose the Alabama game. They come home and play Auburn. They get Texas next week. Number one, Texas. And you begin to think about that aspect of it, too. You know, if you're Georgia, are you thinking, hey, you know, we lost that game to Alabama that we shouldn't. If we really want to be in a good position with our seeding, you know, we got to go into Austin and win. Maybe it's a bit of a sandwich game. Maybe. And I talked about that earlier. I don't know if there's ever a good time to catch Georgia. If there is, I think this is it. I think this is probably the best time to catch Georgia. Because down the stretch on their schedule, there's not as much kind of hanging over their heads. They have the open date before the world's largest cocktail party. Then they travel to Ole Miss. They get Tennessee at home. They get UMass. Man, UMass is like playing an SEC schedule this year. And then Georgia Tech to close out the regular season. And so, again, if you could pick and choose when you could play them, I think most people would pick this. I think you'd pick this spot. You know, because of the fact that they're over the angsty stuff from losing to Alabama. They kind of cleansed the palate a little bit last week against Auburn. And so a lot of things have to go right for Mississippi State to win this football game. And I'm certainly not going to sit here and project that to happen. But I won't be surprised if we look up in the fourth quarter and it is a game. It stays within striking distance. Again, some things have got to go right for us. We got to go make our own luck, though. We can't just sit around and hope Georgia loses the football game. But how incredible would that be if we could find a way to pull this thing off? Be absolutely incredible. Not expecting it, but man, how much fun would that be? Hey, if you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com. You can order The Dude. It will be in the warehouse next week. And the current plan is next Friday night, Friday evening, I'll be signing books downtown at Book Martin Cafe. We're going to have some other events planned, but as soon as books are off the shelf, off the truck, we got to start signing all that stuff and get it ready to go. And so it's important for everybody, I think, to kind of understand, there will be a little bit of ebb and flow, but those books will be shipped out basically as soon as they get here. Your mailing labels have been printed. Your sleeves and boxes have been prepared. It's just a matter of me signing them and then placing them in those items and getting them shipped out to you. And I appreciate everybody's patience. We ordinarily don't open up pre-orders this early, but so many of you wanted to go ahead and do it. So we did it. So it's been a much longer process, longer wait. I guess the longest one we ever did was Dogpile because of the national paper shortage. I could talk about that, but I don't want to get political. But all that I understood, you can get all my sports titles there at dutynoblebook.com. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, and Dogpile. Every Bulldog fan needs a copy of Dogpile. And Villains and Alpha Dogs, we're just about exhausted the inventory there. I think once these this first rush of the dude comes out, it'll exhaust everything we've got for Villains and Alphas. But you can still get Flim Flam and Dogpile, of course. And every smart aleck brother-in-law from the Ole Miss side needs a copy of Flim Flam for Christmas. Maybe you hadn't thought those were that way yet. It's a good way to think. You'll be the head of the party. How great would that be? Get a signed copy, personalized, to your smart aleck Ole Miss brother-in-law, right? Just a little gift-giving idea there. And come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. We've been open now for 10 months. Is that right? 8 months. Excuse me. 8 months. Yeah, 8 months. And excited about the holiday season coming up. And football weekends have been very busy. And so if you're planning to come next weekend and you want to float, you need to go ahead and book ahead of time. You can do that on the True Rest app. If you're new to True Rest, go to 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my wife, Dana. She'll answer any questions you may have and get you guys set up. Listen, if you've got anxiety or stress, or you just need a break, right? Need some time to yourself. Because how many times do we say, I'm going to take some me time, we go sit in our beds, and we're on our phone, and we got the TV going, and there's a million things going on, and you're not even letting your mind rest. It's a chance to let you, your mind, and your body rest. You owe it to yourself to come float. It's a great experience, and it's not like floating in your pool or in your bathtub, no matter what you may think. It's a great experience, and got a lot of student-athletes have been coming to. But football weekends have been exceptionally busy, so if you are planning to float next weekend, you need to go ahead and start making some plans now because there's a good chance that spots are going to be limited as we get into the weekend. And again, that's 662-268-7601. Let's get out of here. I got to pack a bag and get on the road. And as I mentioned, I'm going to see A.J. Rice play tonight, and we'll go cover Mississippi State and Georgia mañana. And we'll hustle back to Starkville and do our part with everything else. I mean, the grind never stops. I didn't choose the grind. The grind chose me. And thankfully, it did. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.